said.
Don't believe what I just saw.
I'm a man. I'm 40.
This is John Sheezer. I'm here.
Eric Marino.
Eric.
No, I gotta tell you about the Clippers. I'm an
addict. Sportsaholic.
Let's just hope this shit doesn't go viral.
That time of the week again. This is Sportsaholics episode number 131. Let me hear it. Fill it in. It's the
Bill Belichick, Tom Brady, New England Patriots, five-time Super Bowl, Eric shaved his head, Marino is bald edition of Sportsaholics. Welcome, everybody, to the Sunset Strip, where Eric Marino talking to you live without any hair on his head. Why?
Well, I'm assuming you burned through four or five different sets of scissors to cut that off. Or how did you attack it? First of all, it looks good.
Thank you.
It's all the same length. A lot of times when you shave your head, you've
got it was awkward, and then it was even like I had to pluck an ear hair. Like it was one of those, like, it's still like a couple days after, it's like suddenly someone would be like, hey, now I have to be very careful of ear lobe hair, ear like a weird sprouter.
Yeah, you can't. It's all exposed now.
Yeah.
It's no longer hidden behind that mane.
Absolutely.
First of all, the hair was at least, what, 12, 14 inches?
I don't know. It was a hair length. It was past my shoulders.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? It was full ponytail.
Was that 2 years of growth?
Well, what it was I shaved my head last time when the Patriots won the Super Bowl. And then last year, and that was growing out and was quite a mane last February when, of course, I went home. My mom was sick. She asked me to get a haircut. She was sick, and you know, it was the last time my mom and I would ever fight about my hair. So you give your mom what she wants.
Yes.
Auntie Mo gave me a great haircut, which looked great, which was the same haircut that I'd been rocking until Sunday night. You know, it was just longer. It was the same haircut. It just got longer and kind of cooler. Cause the thing about hair people, side note, is you just shave it and it looks cool. It's like, people are like, every couple weeks now, for the next couple weeks, people are like, hey, Eric, your hair looks, that's your length, Eric, that's your length. So either like every couple weeks, my hair is going to look okay. Or when people compliment you on a haircut, they're lying to you that your hair never looks good. And when people say it, there is no more shallow, meaningless compliment than I like your hair. Because usually when they say I like your haircut, they're usually saying it because they actually don't like your haircut. They notice something's unusual.
They notice the hair.
They notice something weird or unusual.
You're calling them out on noticing.
You're like, you look weird. What is it? Oh, your hair. Oh, I like it. And it's a lie. So what I'm saying is, it doesn't matter. The Patriots won the Super Bowl five times. And Cheezer, as I said, I, Eric Marino, a sportsaholic, I am officially retiring from day-to-day operations of sports fandom. I will now move on to my executive fan consulting role. So, guys, if you are a sports fan in need of help, I, Eric Marino, who has won five rings as a Patriot fan, three as a Red Sox, I've had quite the 21st century with a Syracuse win, a Celtics, a Stanley Cup. I have gone to the Olympics, people. Trust me, you want me on that wall. You need me on that wall. I am now available for consultation.
I mean, really, if you want to extend the 365-day calendar to whenever you got on that plane to head to Rio, you still got 4 months of possible sports additions to that calendar year before we get to the summer. So right now I'm looking at it. You're at like 290 days right now. You still have 80 more days.
Well,
to
you know
work
what,
with.
Guys. I haven't. Sheezer happens to know, and some people know, and some people who've seen me live have heard that. Even though I had an amazing experience at the Olympics, some people know that the last day of the Olympics, something absolutely horrible happened to me, where I was designated too drunk to fly and had to spend an extra day.
It sounded like you got Cosby'd a little bit.
I think it could. Right. I sort of got roofied. I got roofied in Rio. And I had an Olympic fail. I had an embarrassing, humiliating fail the last day of Rio where I was designated too drunk to fly and had to be kept overnight for 24 hours and then left the country. I got to tell you, I was just rewatching the Atlanta Falcons Patriots Super Bowl today.
And
I
realized
I recognized what happened to the Atlanta Falcons is basically what happened to me in Rio. That is, they have made a, that is a, it was like I was having the greatest week of my life in the Olympics. I was living the dream, and then something terrible happened, and it kind of ruined it. But this is the, like, look, Cheezer, I'm going to explain. So I'd like to listen. Everyone who's out there who's listening to my voice, you're listening to a fan. Let me just explain something. I'm a New England fan, and I went into the day hoping for the best. I was ready for bad things. I wasn't ready for what was going to happen because, people, I want you to understand me. The New England Patriots lost the Super Bowl. I saw them lose that Super Bowl. I saw them lose it by a lot. In my brain, people, in my memory banks, I know every emotion of what it feels like for to have lost Super Bowl 51. I know what it's like. I felt it. I walked it. I took a shower. I wrote all the thank you notes. I moved on. I was already on to next season. And then somehow, people, I didn't lose the Super Bowl. The Patriots did not lose the Super Bowl. So somehow I have both memories. Like I'm Dr. Sam Beckett from Quantum Leap, or I'm Doctor Who, or I'm any sort of time travel character. Guys, I have two different histories simultaneously maintaining. And I see how the Patriots lose by 25. They lost the Super Bowl by 25. And they won the first overtime. I have both things. Both things are true. Like Schrodinger.
That's what I was saying. It's like you really got three different games. You had the first blowout, boring, horrible first three quarters, really, two and a half quarters. And then you have the second game, which is the comeback. And then the third game being the overtime, which wasn't really much of a game at all.
Guys, I fast forward ESPN highlights until it's 28-3. My Super Bowl doesn't start until it's, guys, it's 28-3. Welcome to the Super Bowl.
Okay. So, congratulations on your retired fandom. You know, that's going to free up a few more hours every week. You don't have to care about
it. I'm just stepping back. I'm not done rooting for my teams, but it's less like I'm done from the data. I'm like Bill Walsh. I'm a consultant. I want to spend more time with my friends and my family. I want to raise emus out in my Wyoming ranch. I need to move on. I need, Cheezer, what I need to do is, in some ways, I need to move on into my post-fan career is what needs to happen.
You know, pick up an old script, dust one.
It's all different. What I've realized is I now have to become a fan of me and root as hard for me, Eric Marino, as I do for the Boston Red Sox, the New England Patriots, and I am now going to root for me.
What a noble idea, like root, yeah, believe in I'm yourself now, as yeah, much yeah. And, as by you the way, do your sports fan.
Eric Marino, teams. Eric Marino, pitchers and catchers, we report tomorrow. We report tomorrow because no days off. Belichick chanted, "I tomorrow."
That was a weird chant.
That was a weird chant, especially when it was an off day.
Everyone's off. Right. No day. Everyone's like, what are we chanting, right?
Yeah.
Are we chanting no days
yeah,
off?
Like, and the player's like, this isn't collective bargaining. This isn't collective bargaining. It was a good one. That's, you know.
Very what a perfect.
It was very Belichick. He just awkward. Chanted no days off.
Yeah, no one.
And everyone on their day off, everyone has taken the day off, people, to chant no days off.
And I like that it only took 5 Super Bowls for Belichick to become a human being like he was. Briefly,
he's still not a human being.
Look, he was getting all touchy-feely with Chris Berman. I don't know if it was
Berman. Well, Berman's done.
Like, and thanks for the extra overtime prolonging my career for an extra 15 minutes. And then Belichick's all like, hey, go sexually assault someone real quick.
Don't bring that in. Don't taint anything to do with my 5 rings. Okay?
I'm just saying ESPN's like,
Kyle Shanahan, let me say this. Kyle Shanahan, during Super Bowl week, had the audacity to lose his backpack with his playbook. And I'm like, hey, motherfucker, you're playing the New England Patriots. You don't lose your playbook because my team's going to get blamed for that shit. You keep your playbook in your pants, motherfucker. And what is more unbelievable, what's completely unexpected, I'm going to hold the microphone so far away from me, people, because here's the thing. Kyle Shanahan shit the bed so hard that now 49er fans are like freaked out. Like they were like, there was no downside to it. Never before has a head coach been just like the expectation days 24 seconds before until now. It's like Shanahan somehow created a problem for himself. Like he might get fired before the season starts.
Well, it's tainted. It's clearly it's like the really popular, let's just say like the real popular style, and then all of a sudden you order it online, and then like all of a sudden, let's just say LeBron James got something he's wearing. You want it. You order it. Then the next day.
No, it's
not in style anymore.
It's like you just invested in friends. You just invested in MySpace when friends and
Twitter's coming out in like a month.
Right. You have useless stock. If you invested in Kyle Shanahan, your company may have just crashed right before you went public.
I think you would have to win two Super Bowls just to erase the memory of
nothing
that
will
game.
Erase this. No. Let me make this absolutely clear. Like, the Patriots lost to the Giants. We lost the perfect season. Nothing is going to erase that. The Bill Buckner happened. Like, Bill Buckner, the 86 Red Sox, I haven't forgotten that. That's not erased. It's not made better. It just hurts so much less.
Okay.
And I'll say this. This was the first Super Bowl that has made any New England Patriot fan go, it wasn't the perfect season win, but it's the closest we're ever going to get. Like, what we got was, you just had a historic comeback. Because look, even beating the Giants, like, let me be more specific. Atlanta, I love you, and I'm so sorry. Like, I honestly believe, like, right now, I believe that everyone in New England should put their money together and buy a gigantic greeting card with Bill Buckner and the ball going through his legs and send it to Atlanta and just with the words, we're sorry, we understand, it will get better. It can get better. Like, Atlanta, I hope Atlanta go win the next three. Atlanta could go win the next three Super Bowls and it won't erase what just happened. It won't.
Goes under Buckner's leg.
You can't undo
it. And then
it.
The very next hit goes under his leg. And then the very next hit goes under his leg. And then let's just say they flip. And then the Mets get a huge hit. And then all of a sudden, it's robbed at the fence.
I just watch, guys. Sometimes I tell this story. In 2004, when the Red Sox lost Game 3 to the Yankees 19-8. And I left my best friend's home in the San Fernando Valley. And I'm driving home. And I'm like, I can't raise. It was so brutal. I'm like, the Red Sox might win the World Series someday, but it won't be. I can't care this much. I was like, I literally said to myself, I couldn't raise children to be Red Sox fans. After 19-8, it was like, it'll never happen.
This is game three.
This was game three. It was right of 04.
ALCS.
We lost 19-8. Like, guys, remember, we had Schilling, we had Pedro, we were healthy, the pitching was lined up, if you know what that means, so it was Schilling in game one, Pedro, and they beat us both. And
Arroyo's on fire.
And Schilling was hurt now, and then we lose game, and then it was like, all right, well, we're going home, and then we get killed 19-8, and Tim Wakefield just decides to pitch just to eat up innings. It was brutal. And I had to drive home going, I can't root. It's like, I guess the Red Sox will win. I can't raise a child like this. And just so you know, my friend Kevin and I, we did not speak to each other from the moment I left his house. We did not communicate. We won game four. We won game five. We won game six. We came all the way back. And then not only did we then come back in that was the greatest comeback of all time, beating the Yankees. We then won and literally never trailed during the four-game sweep of the Cardinals. So it became an absolute nightmare to a dream. Now, I just watched all 11 games of what just transpired happen in four quarters of football.
Really?
That all just happened. 25 points. Yeah, 25 points. It was, by the way, score a touchdown, get a two-point conversion. Score another touchdown, get another two-point conversion. Get a third touchdown, get a third two-point conversion. And guess what, motherfuckers? You're still trailing the Atlanta Falcons by one goddamn point. Because it's a 25-point lead, which meant it was four scores. It's four scores. And guess what? It doesn't matter. I saw Julio Jones with 4 minutes and 41 seconds up by eight catch a ball that makes Lynn Swann's catch look like grade school antics.
This is a beautiful catch.
I mean, the two toes
ballet
in.
Ballet style.
The way that Ryan got it over Eric Rowe.
By inches.
And it's on the 22-yard line. And somehow with 4:41.
Chip shot.
And up by eight. Somehow they never scored again.
Okay, to take you out to that moment in the game. And so then that's the second second and long at that point. It was like,
so what happens is that is first down. That's first down. And then they stop the play for a yard loss. They stop the next play for a yard loss is what happens. So now it's second down. and then there's a sack.
Then he drops back, and then that's the sack.
That's the sack, and now
so
it's,
many things.
And now it's third and 23. It's third and 23, but they're still technically it's a 53-yarder, and they're still in. But that's when they get a holding penalty.
That's right. That's
which
right.
Now it's third and 33, and they're out of. And that's crazy. And they end up having to punt, and then you're saying it's 8 points. With over, by the way, it wasn't a 2 minute drill.
2 point, we two have, and a half minutes.
No. You gave Tom Brady the ball with 3 minutes and 17 seconds.
Okay, that's what
he had the ball.
This was the 91 yard drive.
This is the 91 drive.
To he tie has, their to longest the drive. Game, right, of to the season.
And by the way, you weren't nervous. You weren't nervous about the second. I wasn't nervous about any 2 point conversion because it didn't matter. It was laughable. I'd been down by 25. If we had missed the 2 points, you don't think I'm going to get an onside kick? Because it was just all going our way at a certain point.
Except for the onside kick that they did try.
No, and that was but in the third quarter. That's even what you're saying. It's like you're saying when I finally got in the end zone, I clanked one off the extra. I clanked the extra point. Then I'm driving down and all I could get is three, so it's 12, which means nothing. Like it's 28-12. It's pathetic.
You're like, is this cricket or is this a rugby score?
Yeah,
like,
yeah. It's oh my god. And then the Dante Hightower sack, the strip sack comes, and now it's a whole new world. Don't you dare close your eyes.
Well, all right, tell you what, let's take a break. When we get back, we'll just start. We'll break it down.
And by the way, when we get back, I will still have won 5 Super Bowls.
Okay, listeners in Missouri, I'm going to be touring back there in mid-March. It is March 16th is a Thursday. I will be at Avenue HQ in Jefferson City, the beautiful state capital of the Show Me State, Missouri. And then on the 17th and 18th, the Friday and Saturday, I will be at the Blue Room in Springfield, Missouri, right downtown. Great location, new club, just opened up a little over a year ago. And I'm working on a date for the 15th in Topeka, which I will keep you posted at. But of course, go to John, JonIsHere.com. JonIsHere.com. I've got all the dates, some links if you guys want to get tickets. But by all means, come out. If you know some friends or family that live in those areas, invite them. Just say, hey, there's this guy, it's funny. It's going to be a good time. You'll be offended. Go see that. Listening on iTunes, by all means, subscribe, leave a comment, say, hey, you like the show, hey, you don't like the show. You can find us on Stitcher. If you're listening on there, I recommend it. It's real easy. I personally like it a little bit better than iTunes, but hey, however you want to listen to the show, by all means, do it. Keep spreading the word. Listenership is going up week to week. I think that's due to us actually releasing an episode every week. That certainly helps. But guys, thank you so much for doing that. Real quick, sponsors, Don Carlos Taco Shop. If you're in La Jolla, California, Pacific Beach, San Diego, in that area, stop by Don Carlos. It's on Pearl Street, Kitty Corner, Catty Corner from the world-famous Comedy Store down there in La Jolla. Great food, great tacos, burritos. By all means, check them out. They take care of us all the time.
They're the best.
They take care of us all the time, so I'm sure they'll do the Don will do the same for you. And if you guys need any t-shirts printed up, by all means, go to Union Press KC, letters KC.com, UnionPressKC.com. They've got a bunch of good deals. If you need something designed up, they'll do it for you real quickly. Good, quick turnover. They've, again, taken care of me in the past, and I'm sure they will do the same to you. All right, so back to the game.
All right, guys. So just right now, so you know, we happen to be watching. I've DVR'd the Super Bowl Classics, which is Super Bowl 51. Which, just so you know, guys, I don't even start the recording until it's 28-9 because there's no point. There's no point. Everything else in the early quarters, don't need it. But right now, guys, where we just happened is Julio Jones just made that catch. And if I say Julio Jones, you know that toe tapping, there's 4:41 left. He's just caught the ball with the ball stopped at the 22-yard line of the Patriots, up by 8. The game should be over. But then we stopped him for one. There's about to be a sack. Then there's going to be a penalty. Arthur Blank has come down from the owner's box, but
Count
he's trapped.
Chocula.
He's now trapped. Like, Arthur Blank is trapped. He can't. Robert Kraft is still safely up in his owner's box, but Arthur Blank.
I want to get to this later.
Up by 25. Okay, before I go anywhere else, guys, let me tell you this. Sheezer, let me say this. I'm thinking about retiring my television. What I might do is I might never watch anything else but this Super Bowl on this TV ever again. Like, I will have to buy another TV and another complete cable hookup because I will just create a loop of this, like, hour and a half program of the Patriots down, you know, from 28-9 and then all the way through getting the trophy from Goodell. And it will just go as an everlasting loop for the rest of my life. Every time if you're in my house, you'll know, because this TV will always be showing Super Bowl 51.
Very similar to the Royals Astros game, the AL
where Correa did the same thing twice. Like, that is a crazy game. I remember Correa hit that 2-run shot, and then he came up again and he hit another 2-run shot.
And you're just like, okay. And it was like, Royals was like down 4, 7th inning, and yep. Then it's infamous classic comeback, rivaled only by the
A couple years ago, the Patriots were down to the Baltimore Ravens by 14. We came all the way back to tie it up, and then we went down by 14 again, and we came all the way back to tie it up. And that was the game that got Harbaugh so mad, they started complaining about deflated balls, and that's what led. And then we beat the Colts, and that led to Deflategate. Just so you know, the Patriots have been up against the wall before, but this is – I'm just going to say this, people. If you're ever down by 25 points in the Super Bowl – don't ask for my help, because I've used whatever magic or mojo I have is clearly – you can't go to that well twice in your life. It's
okay, even back to the sack, which was, I believe, very instrumental into their second-to-last touchdown.
The Donta Hightower, so we're going to cut it to 20.
So at that point, it's third down, if my memory serves me mm-hmm. correctly. And as a fan, yeah. You're watching
it's
the game.
It's third and one, by the way. It's third and one.
And you're thinking – and they're trying to pass on third. Anyway.
Right.
So anyway, that goes back to
that
the,
was one of those things
Shanahan,
like,
great Shanahan
in that
play
sense,
call.
Like, that's where Matt Ryan being MVP needs to talk. Like, Aaron Rodgers, Tom Brady, John Elway, in their moments, they get that yard. Because it wasn't about throwing a pass. You didn't need to throw a pass. What you needed was, it's third and one. You need the one.
You just, even if you get zero and just pump
right.
the ball,
yes.
better.
You needed to not fumble it.
And so at that point, you're watching it, and you're like, look, they have to not only stop them here, get a good punt, you know, it's best-case scenario happens, and then some.
Guys, in the rebroadcast, the Falcons have just had to punt, and somehow the Patriots have 3:31 to go 91 yards. They don't have a two-minute drill. They have a big, fat extra time. I mean, they left 57 seconds on the clock.
No, okay, not to get into
to
conspiracy this or whatever.
I root for the New England Illuminati. It's
so
true.
Then, okay, even with that ball, it reeked of Tuck Rule, Raiders, Patriots. You know, it's like there wasn't even a quick, like, was he in the process of throwing? I mean, it seemed like any other game you would watch, that immediately would have been rotten up. The announcers didn't mention it.
No.
They go straight to commercial. It never goes publicly under any review.
It doesn't.
And that was just – that was right on the verge. Okay.
Because his arm's in motion. The ball goes straight up. There is – you could make the argument.
And so I feel like Falcons fans there are watching that like, well, what the hell's going on there? I believe it was in the second quarter where Atlanta got three straight – their defensive backs were being very
physical. Right, but
there was
defensive holding just kept –
back to back.
Right.
And on that, it was holding. The refs are going to think how bad the holding was if that's what they were getting called for.
Right.
You know, so there's obviously more that wasn't going called. So that – or that wasn't getting called. So that I felt was appropriate, those back-to-back-to-back calls. Okay, then you have
– No, the pass interference at the one-yard line in overtime, it's like these are clear – these are clear calls.
Okay, and then what about the initial was it Amendola? Was it a 2-point or touchdown? Anyway, there was one where
they were offsides. They would have had a shot at it again.
That not that one. It was before that where it's a real close. Like he goes in over the line, but
no, that's the 2-pointer to tie this game up. That'll be the 2-pointer.
So now that's coming. People are like, well, here's the ball, and then circling the knee down. And look, it was real speedy, but again, it was one of those things where I felt like you're watching it in a normal game. Maybe they stop it and run the replay, but I feel like the Patriots were just getting a little bit of like the benefit of the doubt as far as just like not reviewing stuff.
Well, there's a point where it was almost like, okay, remember, so it's 28 to 12. It's 28 to 12 when Dont'a Hightower hits Matt Ryan and the ball, let's just say, for sake of argument, let's just say.
Now, is this in the fourth
quarter?
Right.
No, this is the third. This is the strip sack. This is right. The fourth quarter. This is the strip sack we're talking about.
So this is what, roughly like 12 minutes left in the fourth
quarter? Whatever. It's the 8-minute. I want to say it's the 8-minute mark.
Okay.
Because this is what gets us to, this is what's going to get us to 20. Okay. In other words, like it's.
Oh yeah, because you guys flipped that turnover for
right.
Eight.
So right.
Now you're only down 8.
By the way, we've just had to settle for 3. Like we drove all the way down there and had to settle. Like nothing's going our way. We have 12 points. We have a field goal, a touchdown with a missed extra point, and then another settle for a field goal bullshit. Like we're really. LeGarrette Blount fumbled. We've given up a pick 6. Like everything that can go wrong. Okay. You know in Rocky II when Apollo Creed's manager says the greatest thing that's ever said in movies, when he says to Apollo Creed, do you want the truth? And this is what Tony says to Apollo. He says, I saw you beat that man like I never saw no man get beat before. And he kept coming after you. And that was the thing. Like every single thing that could possibly, nothing was really going right. Except they couldn't somehow, like, they could stop LeGarrette Blount. They could stop, Damian Lewis had been a force for the Patriots. Like, he was thought to be a huge X factor. But somehow, James White was the thing they couldn't stop. Like, Chris Hogan they saw, and they, Chris Hogan,
had a couple drops.
Edelman,
just kinda...
Bennett, they all were contained. No one was having a day.
Bennett, I mean, on that one holding call, I'm just watching that play, and again, I'm not sure what it was a big holding call, and it was on a wide receiver or on a defensive back, and you're just like, dude, what are you doing? You could have, like, just shoved that guy on the ground. You know what I mean? Like, why are you holding that guy?
It was also one of those things like that had nothing to do. Like, he'd already made his run. The yardage was made. You know what I'm saying? The play was determined, and that holding was it was holding.
And right in front of Belichick, so he had to turn around, walk off the field, and just stare at Bill Belichick.
But so going back to the point. At 28 to 12, when the ball goes straight up in the air, in some ways, you could almost call it a mercy rule. Like, it's almost like, hey, the Patriots are so out of this that we're really going to say his arm was in motion. Like, hey, dude, you're the MVP of the league, and you're up by fucking 16 points. If you can't take one turnover and survive, then you don't deserve it.
No, and I get that. It felt like the
because they had to score a touchdown. They had to get a 2-point conversion. They had to stop the Falcons again. They had to stop the number one offense. They got the 28 points, and they never scored again. They got the number one offense in the league, ran out to 28 points, and then they never scored again. They got to the 22-yard line and somehow came. They didn't even attempt a field goal. And somehow, down 25 to nothing, I was there, Sheezer, and you're sitting there, and it's like, if I win the coin toss, if we win this stupid heads or tails, you just said to me, NFL, that you're going to kick the ball to Tom Brady in the New England offense, and if I can score 6 points, the game's over, and Atlanta doesn't even get to touch the ball? I am so in on that.
Okay, now that
we are now at the right. It's like it's not even going
again,
well. It's 2:34
in the background.
And Brady's missed another
like
shot.
That ball could have easily been picked.
Oh,
that was the over the middle off the numbers. Let's talk about the first half real quick.
Nothing to talk about.
What was the like? Brady looked the worst I've ever seen him. Missing receivers, looked incredibly slow. Was it the the receivers? Was it Brady? And I know
how
you
about
saw
it was the Atlanta Falcons. No. Game respects game. No, the Atlanta Falcons. Dwight Freeney has a sack. That guy. What's his name?
The defensive tackle is all over
three,
you guys.
He has three sacks. He only had three in his life. Or like it was like. They were all they have a pick six. They're doing everything they want to do.
Yes, I will give them
Julio
that.
Julio Jones came completely as advertised.
It was to the point where the announcers were referencing it, and they never talked bad about Brady, ever. And it was clear as day. Like, it would be Edelman over the middle, and he would be 3 or 4 yards in front of him, wide open. Like, he was just missing a lot of passes.
It's a game of inches, because when Brady's on, like, because some of these things, he sticks one during the, like, down in the overtime, he's going to stick one into Hogan. He's going to stick one into Edelman. That in some ways you're like, holy shit. Like, when you think of what the Patriots, like, the razor's edge that they have to be racing, that if they make a single mistake, if there is a single turnover, this thing is over. It vanishes. Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, hey, look, Drew Bledsoe.
Oh, it's definitely tightrope for
right,
the last.
By the way, here's the difference. Everyone, Drew Bledsoe was trailing the Green Bay Packers, and it was one of those situations like, if we score and then get the ball back and score again, and we just, here's the Edelman catch right here. Yeah.
Jeez, I mean, like, not only does he catch it, but guys, I forgot that first part was the ball bounces off both hands of a defense of the
There's
safety.
There's three Falcons like and one Patriot.
Right there.
And by the way, he's a converted quarterback, everybody. The guy who made, like, one of the greatest catches in Super Bowl didn't play receiver in college. And by the way, one of the other receivers played lacrosse.
And it has to bounce off of his leg. I mean, this catch.
Yeah.
I mean, the Manningham over the shoulder.
But we did Javon Curse, or whatever his name, Curse against the Patriots. The Seahawks was a crazy thing that Butler almost made that play. I mean,
Very similar, actually.
This is the first time the Patriots have made the catch.
They've actually been on the catching side and not on the defensive side of some
well,
weird.
Maybe David Patton and like, hey, look, it's against the Rams, Ty Law got an interception. Like, we've certainly had our breaks.
Yeah, but that ball right there just suspended in air.
Right.
And his hands
now, remember,
just
it was a first. Like, the thing about Edelman is, remember, you know, people are trying to say, well, that's their David Tyree. I'm like, but David Tyree's will always be better because it was third down. You know, it toppled the perfect season. Edelman, if they had missed that play, it was going to be second down. Like, they had shots. Like, it wasn't, this wasn't, of everything that happened with the Patriots down the stretch, this, that play wasn't make or break. That just happened to be a great, amazing play.
No, it was, but it also,
it set
it
a tone.
It hit four.
And by the way,
it hit four different people.
But in some ways, the most important thing about Edelman is the underrated thing, is that the Falcons should have never challenged this catch. They should have never challenged this catch, which cost them their final timeout. That's what they shouldn't have done. Because, by the way, they shouldn't have spiked them. They shouldn't have clocked the ball.
That was weird. That was a weird.
They didn't know what to do. That's when they were too young and too inexperienced. They had 57 seconds. He shouldn't have caught that short pass. Like, he caught a four-yard. You know, you didn't need it to be second and six. You need clock time. Let's keep talking.
Like, yeah,
we're about to get wrapped. We're watching it on mute, but like, the call's just been confirmed and it just cost a fucking touchdown. I mean, it just cost a timeout to the, and now Amendola has just caught it to the 20. Yeah.
Well, okay. Let's talk about the Patriots wide receivers here. You've got the three white guys, as they're now known nationally.
Right.
And then what was the fourth guy? It was the rookie or second
year? Malcolm Mitchell, the rookie, right.
Malcolm Mitchell.
Right.
Now, this guy, that the one play, the driveway, it was just on here, fourth quarter. He slips on an out route.
Yep, gets up.
Gets up immediately, and the ball's already on the way to him as he slips.
Which, by the way, he falls down. That could be a pick six.
Yeah, very easily. You know? But because he's smart enough, gets up in position, gets between him and the ball and the defender, makes a great catch right on the sidelines. Like, there were so many dark horse heroes. Like,
it
Mitchell,
was a complete
like
team.
White.
Guys, you have to understand, it's like you're saying it took Dont'a Hightower to get the strip tack. Alan Branch had to recover it. Trey Flowers had to sack. They had to cover it. Like, Chris Long had to be held. Chris Long, Howie Long's son, had to be held because the holding call puts him 10 yards back and out of field goal range. Like, every single, like, Martellus Bennett had to be held. I mean, had to be pass interfered with to get down to the one. Like, even the penalties, even the non-plays, you're saying, and it took every single man on the team.
And in some cases, arguably, every referee on the field as well at the same time.
I don't even see that. I mean, I guess, but if it's like, I don't know. It's just arguing
for the sake of Falcons fan. I mean, look, that was the greatest single comeback.
It's one of those things, like, because it's so beyond one call. That's what I'm saying. It's like, this isn't Malcolm Butler snatching.
God, it's like watching up to a craps table with a dollar and walking away an hour and
with
a half
the casino.
Later.
No. With the casino.
Dude, I mean, just one after another.
Craziest thing is, I couldn't believe, what I honestly can't believe, guys, if you go back and look, the craziest thing is, Belichick's reaction after they win is he acts like that was the plan. Like, that was the plan. Like, he just like, yeah, I mean, I was like, come on, Belichick, you got to lose your shit. If you're going to lose you got to lose your shit now. He never loses his shit.
Like you said, it was like, oh, it looks like it was the number 18 plan that worked. The 15 didn't really work too
right,
well.
But and, his job is to win football games, and that's what he does better than anyone else. Do you want a flashy coach? Do you want Bill Belichick? Hey, guys, listen to me. If anyone's out there listening to the sound of my voice and you want Joe Montana and Bill Walsh, and you want Chuck Knoll and Terry Bradshaw or Mike Shanahan and Elway or whoever and Peyton Manning, then what you're saying to me is you don't want to win 5 Super Bowls. That's what you're saying to me. It's like you're lying to yourself or you don't understand football. If you don't root for Bill Belichick and Tom Brady, I feel bad for you, son. You know what I'm saying? Because I got 99 problems and fucking football and is not one, all right?
It's clear that they've taken football. They play a different game that the rest everyone else calls football. They've got some insider.
No days off.
No days off. All right, we're going to take a break. We'll be right back after this. No days off.
No days off. It's 1 minute and 57 seconds.
Times how I go down. Slaps on deck for the whole town. On mama's man, I did it with my own sound. And I got my own city that I hold down. Just admit it already. You got plans to do it, but we did it already. Got a couple DMs, I done slid in already. Gotta ask YG if he hit it all.
All right, and we're back. Yeah. And at this point in the replay, we've got the 11 seconds left.
It's tie game, guys. It's 28-28. And guys, let me tell you something. Seeing the white 2-8, which is James White's numbers, by the way, in the blue box next to the 2-8 in the red box, I had been looking at 3-28. It had been such, it was like the election day all over again. You were waiting for Hillary's numbers to start climbing and they never did. This was, for me, the election day in reverse.
James White. What's his story?
Fourth round pick out of Michigan. He was with us. We drafted him, 3 seasons ago. He was actually inactive for the Super Bowl against the Seahawks. And I got to tell you, you know, when we have a Blunt is our big power, you know, the control football power back, smash mouth football back. And then we have Lewis, and Lewis is this really amazing, you know, one of those human joystick out in space kind of guys. And you can't believe the way he just wiggled or waggled and made somebody miss. He like always makes somebody miss. But look, the Falcons were stopping Blunt, and the like 2 or 3 times Lewis, like they had an answer for everything except our third back, James White. And James White was a guy that it was like he's that Kevin Falk or Shane Vereen, that pass catching back. He's trying to do what Lewis could do when Lewis was injured and rehabbing all last season. And, you know, because Lewis didn't come back till midseason this year. And I was like very impressed. James White was doing it. And he was running he's filling in like Lewis, but not quite what Lewis could do because Lewis had that X factor. But hey, James White, 3 touchdowns, 20 points, you know, a 2-point conversion. You've set records.
Most receptions in a Super Bowl record with 14. Most points with 20.
Right. But it took a historic day to make historic things happen. I mean, you're saying
Patriots run in the 93-96 plays, you know.
Twice as many. It was like the Clemson Alabama thing, right? To the 47 of the Falcons,
yeah,
right?
Whatever it was. Right. The discrepancy in time was, you know, 31 minutes to 18.
It's crazy.
it was kind of surprising that...
By the way, we were 50-50 in coin tosses. Not a lot of people give us that. Like, we lost the opening coin toss, but hey, all it matters is that we won the second coin toss. That's what matters.
Look, think about how good Atlanta's defense is.
They were great.
They were out on the field. I mean,
yeah.
That has to factor into it, the fact that Atlanta could not get them enough breaks just to kind of gas back up. I mean,
here's the one thing. It's like when you get to root for Brady.
Which, by the way, sorry, the game just ended with that horrific knee injury. I mean,
Lewis did that weird thing where he just.
I mean, that had to have been a torn something.
I don't know. I mean, he has all offseason to deal with it.
Yeah, that's true. And a ring to help.
Right.
Just flopped. That was just ugly.
Yeah. It was a weird thing, and you almost like
somebody to shoot him with a gun. Like he just kind of dropped like a sack there.
It is one of those things that it just lost my train of thought. What were we talking about there? Atlanta? We were talking about something about Atlanta?
No, how good their defense was because...
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, they gave it
up.
Oh,
what I was going to say was this. No, I have what it was. Guys, here's the thing. One of the things that the Patriots practiced, and this is when they talk about experience. The Patriots are so experienced that they were practicing for a longer game. They know that the Lady got, like they knew the halftime. They know this stuff because they go so often that they knew it. Like a regular NFL game is about 3 hours, including halftime. They know this is like they practice for a 4 hour. By the way, he knew to practice them in heat because either the roof at NRG Stadium is either going to be open and it's going to be hot, or the room is going to be closed with all the people and it's going to be hot. So there's a point where he knew
to recreate the environment, get everyone
right, like practicing with noise or any of those
acclimated
things.
Acclimated to the system,
get there and get to the Houston weather and get like know that this is going to be what happens because. That is the Falcons, who were awesome and everywhere. And they made plays. They kept making plays, except they couldn't keep making plays.
I'm just thinking, like, I would not be surprised if you see the Falcons back again next year. And look, it's hard. I mean.
And good on them. And I hope you do. I got nothing bad to say about Atlanta.
I was going to say,
I love to, I love to shit on the South in Atlanta or be something funny. I got nothing mean to say.
Look, Atlanta, cheer up. You've got a brand new baseball stadium that opens up in about a month.
So just walk your ass down.
Be a good sports fan. Walk your ass down the street.
Ask yourself why you guys aren't better at basketball. Because Atlanta should be the mecca of basketball. Like Atlanta, it's a good basketball town, but it should be the center of the universe.
I feel like I kind of agree with you there. It should go New York, maybe Atlanta second.
Right. Yeah.
But the only basketball player I know that's from Atlanta is, I believe, J.R. Smith and Dwight Howard, and only because they were friends growing up in high school. But with the population there and how big everyone talks about Atlanta being.
You're saying the black population, the rappers, the music scene, it's like what should be there?
Maybe it's a football.
But that's even that thing. Like they should have that. They should have sort of the rap music, Tyler Perry, Walking Dead version of the Lakers. You know what I'm saying? It's like they should have their Jack Nicholson. They should have like it should be that dope to go.
That is true. Think about that.
Atlanta's beautiful. Atlanta's gorgeous.
I'm old school. Give me Outkast there. Give me some CeeLo Green on the court side.
Right.
Give me the cast Atlanta of Atlanta, the show, which is fantastic, by the way.
That franchise should have, they should have like six Dominique Wilkins. Like they should, in some ways, like they should be the Celtics. There's no reason the Celtics are the great.
Well, because they always lost to the Celtics. That was
What I'm saying is it's like, Naismith was from Massachusetts, so I guess basketball was created in Kansas, Naismith. Like, there are connections, and there are certain places that should be great.
Springfield, Mass.
There are certain places that should be great with basketball.
Teaches Fog Allen.
Coaches. And I knew Kansas would get involved because it involves, like, that's where, once again, Massachusetts and Kansas come together.
Well, because what happened was, when Kansas was a free state, all the abolitionists in the North were running to the free state so they could vote it to become a free state and not a slave state. And so they had a lot of people from New England actually settled a lot of these small towns in and around eastern Kansas.
I get what you're saying.
And so I know Gardner was settled by.
I get what you're saying.
But anyway, so that's why.
I'm just saying, in some ways, like, you know what? I think you could talk me into, in the future Super Bowls, You just play. You don't play sudden death. You just play another quarter.
I was looking forward to just.
But I'll be honest with you,
Timmy.
But do you, in any way, do you believe that the Atlanta, like Atlanta, could have held another? They were already gassed. Like they couldn't have. They still weren't going to win.
No, there was no chance.
Whereas the Patriots were ready for another 15.
There was no chance. I mean, at that point, the defense had been on the field 38 minutes regular time, factoring in everything else.
Right.
It just, that's why I was saying they got an incredible defense. I mean, they eventually broke, but they, I mean, that they played two games in one. Enough snaps, you know, for almost
I think there might have been three games.
Entire
I might, I think there might have been three different games.
As a viewer, it felt like that.
Yeah.
It went from, like, falling asleep on the couch, like, this is awful and shocking.
Yeah.
So
it was just one of those bad Super Bowls. It was like Denver. I mean, it was like San Francisco ripping up Denver. It was like both the Dallas Buffalo. It was going that way. Like this was a Dallas Buffalo year. This was just, but it was also like, look, as a Patriot fan, I was sitting there like I've won Super Bowls. I've lost Super Bowls. I've lost a perfect season. I wasn't, by the way, I wasn't going to be mad at anybody. I wasn't going to be drunk about it or a bad sport. Like it'd be like, if any Atlanta fan who, if Atlanta had won and some Atlanta fan wanted to get in my face, all I would have been was like, hey, dude, because everyone should win. Guys, you root for sports. You put all this of your power into 25 guys or 40, 50, 53 guys, five guys on a court, and you put so much of your energy into something you have no control over, and it means so much into your life. Like everyone, after the Red Sox won in 04, I'm like, every Cleveland Brown fan should feel this. Every Detroit Lion. I want everyone who loves sports to feel as happy as I have felt. I do.
I mean, for 2 months, you're on cloud nine, you know, and then
I'm never going to be unhappy again.
Like, you know, I was going to say 2 years after the Royals won. I mean, I still am happy when I look around, look down. Maybe I just happened to pull out the World Series champions T-shirt that day to put on. You're like, oh, yeah, that's right.
Remember what a good day felt like?
Everybody saw that. And everybody witnessed
Guys, every time I hear U2's Beautiful Day, I remember hearing U2 sing Beautiful Day at halftime of the Super Bowl. And I got to tell you, the Patriots, it was only halftime. But when the Patriots were paying the Rams, when U2 sang Beautiful Day, I knew right at that moment, oh my God, the Patriots are going to win the Super Bowl. And every time, it was a beautiful day. Every time I hear that song, I am putting back, and one of the greatest lines in Beautiful Day is, thought you found a friend to get you out of that place. And all I could think of is like, Boston fans, we had believed in Roger Clemens and Nomar Garciaparra. We had Ted Williams. We had so many heroes that we put our faith in that they were going to get us out of this place. But it was Tom Brady and Bill Belichick that changed everything, 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 everything. And by the way, guys, it happened. It's been over 15 years. And I want to put this, let me explain this. Imagine that somebody won a Super Bowl in 1971, and then they won again in 1985. That is the span of time in which we're talking about.
I know, and look, to have lived through it, it's hard to imagine it, but when you phrase it like that, it does help kind of put that out. It's like, okay, we've covered one whole shelf on a bookshelf, and now we're working on our second shelf of highlights now. It's like, at what point, what do you...
Tom Brady and Bill Belichick won when George W. Bush was president. They won when Barack Obama was president. They have now won when Donald Trump is president. They have won in over 16 years.
When first term.
It was the first year. So it was actually, because remember, president gets inaugurated in January. So then he had that first Super Bowl. He had that first Super Bowl, which probably would have been the... That would have been the Giants Ravens, I want to say. That would have been 2000, 2001. And then you're saying, so now it's 2000. He gets inaugurated in 2001. We have that Super Bowl. And then 9/11 happens. And this is 2002. So it's Bush's W's second of eight Super Bowls.
Okay.
So he wins that, right.
And so you've created that 71-85. But in all
reality. Even the fact the Patriots go three times during Bush. They go four times during Bush. They win every other year. They go twice during Obama, and now they've gone once during Trump.
Can they go two more times during Trump?
Here's the thing, guys. I won the Super Bowl. The Patriots have been to six consecutive AFC championships, and I'm still the odds-on favorite to go back to a seventh consecutive AFC championship. Like, that's My quarterback's.
I mean, how many years?
My quarterback's 39. My window's open for 3 years. My quarterback window is open for 3 years. There's no reason it shouldn't be because
it's
no.
Hike.
Because
ball's
look
gone.
At look at all we have
Snap,
to do. Is, all we have to do is look at last
gone.
Year. Last year's Super Bowl, Peyton Manning was like a relief pitcher. He didn't have his fastball, but he won a title. Like he and Brock Osweiler, it was like a pitching staff that cobbled together innings. And then they got through, their defense carried them, they made just enough plays. His, you know, the game, he was terrible. By the way, Peyton Manning was terrible in the game.
He was like 13 or like, it was 50 below 50%.
By the way, that's why Brock Osweiler left, because in some ways Brock Osweiler has to know in his heart of hearts that was his ring. That was I could have won that.
Possibly, but Brock Osweiler also would have thrown the ball three or four times.
He was winning that, and that also changed. It's like, look, he could have won that and been Joe Flacco. Now he's nobody. You know, now he's like Alex Smith. Now he's Alex Smith to Colin Kaepernick.
I wouldn't even say he's Alex Smith.
No, I'm just saying it's like the road not taken. Like,
yeah.
Instead of, you know, you could, like Alex Smith, if Alex Smith starts that Super Bowl, the Ravens maybe don't get off to that hot start, and it's a different game. I believe that Alex Smith might have won that game. But there's a crazy thing. Like, people, look, I'm no soothsayer. I'm still remembering, like, you know, go back 15 years. Remember, before Brady won that title, people were saying, well, should Belichick start Drew Bledsoe? Like, people were like, it was 50-50.
Well, yeah, Drew Bledsoe
had played.
Top pick in the NFL draft, you know. Player that, you know,
he threw a touchdown 2 weeks before to help them get to the Super Bowl against Pittsburgh. Like, he was vital to us getting there.
And in the prime of his career, I think that season 7-8 or whatever,
he experienced. Would go play for Buffalo and Dallas after us.
Oh, that's right. For a couple more years.
Right?
I don't think he retired until 04, 05, maybe, you know, somewhere right in there.
But I think he could start for the Cleveland Browns right now or the Jags.
And I happen to know for a fact he makes some really good wine that's,
I believe,
grown and bottled in Montana, if I'm not mistaken.
I've heard that too.
So get yourself some Drew Bledsoe wine, listeners. Not an official sponsor, but we are officially asking you to drink some
Drew
Bledsoe
wine.
Hold
on, geez. Something's happened in the game. I think I need to, I think we need to take this back a second. Something seems to have happened. Something seems to have happened.
So the game winning
guys. So it's at the 2 yard line. It's second and goal.
Overtime.
There's 11 minutes and 8 seconds, but it's not going to matter. White has the ball. He drives. That's a touchdown. He's in. The Patriots win the Super Bowl. Good night, everybody. Good night. It's over.
And it's not reviewed somehow. Like
it is reviewed, but they're also shooting off confetti and cannons, and it is a touchdown. Like. And if you don't think I'm getting it in the net, like Tom
Giselle's
Brady will stick
doing
it
the
in.
Selfie screen thing.
Right. Tom Brady would stick it in on third down. We're going to get in.
So White, as he goes in and it comes out, you know.
Right. And so even
later,
like,
there's
even
a
that,
picture.
I believe if we had to kick off to the Falcons,
of
we were
his
up 7-0.
Being down right as before the ball.
No, the
is,
ball crosses right there. He's in.
Yeah, you can't.
You can't see because his thigh's in the way, but you will from the other side.
Yeah, it does. Yeah,
he's in because you know where the ball is. His knee's not down. The ball's crossed right there. It's over. It's over.
Yeah. Look, they didn't review it, but yeah. So clearly
they
he
did
got
review it.
It.
It's fine. It is what it is.
And like you said, they were dropping confetti.
They shot. They were sitting. That's what they're saying. It's like we just heard. If they're shooting the confetti. There are people on the field. Like if they have to, we don't even know what they do if they had to like go back. By the way, guys, what's great if you watch this again is poor Matt Ryan doesn't wear his helmet during the whole overtime. He's wearing the ball cap. He's wearing the black ball cap. But when the score touch, when they score, you actually see him go get his helmet. Like you see him go get his helmet. But then the next time you see him, Tom Brady's being surrounded by people. And now Matt Ryan's wearing his helmet. He decided to put it on.
He went
to go
Ricky
shake
Williams.
Hands.
He went all social anxiety.
Yeah, like I just go shake his hand. You don't need to, like, you didn't, by the way, you weren't wearing your helmet. Maybe you should have been wearing your helmet during the overtime.
Maybe we would have gotten a couple more opportunities to set up a field goal.
All right,
goal.
That's quarter three. We'll be back for the final and fourth quarter right after this. Second.
Well, it's the M.I. Cricket letter. Ain't no one better. And when I'm on the microphone, you best to wear your sweater, cause I'm cooler than the polar bear's toenails. Oh, hell, there he go again, talking that shit. Been corners like I was a curve. I struck a nerve, and now you're about to see the Southern player serve. I heard it's not where you from, but where you pay rent. Then I heard it's not what you make, but how much you spend. You got me bent like elbows, amongst other things, but I'm not worried. Cause when we set up in the party, like I'm out, you scurry. So go get your fucking shine box and your sack of nickels. It tickles to see you try to be like Mr. Pickles. Daddy Fat Sacks, B-I-G-B-O-I, is that same motherfucker that took them knuckles to your eye. And I try to warn you not to test, but you don't listen. Giving a shout out to my Uncle Donnell, locked up in prison.
Now throw your hands in the air and wave them like you just don't care. And if you like fish and grits and all that pimp shit, everybody let me hear you say, oh yeah, yeah. Now throw your hands in the air.
So as the post-game thing is running here, so Tom Brady's got what we believe is all of his sons. And so,
well, one of the greatest things, guys, while we were just at break, you know, we're watching the post-game celebration. He's hugging his daughter, the heads with Giselle.
Which, yeah, then, it's a shot of the daughter at first.
And then Caesar just says, oh, good, Tom Brady has sons. Like a good.
I was happy because, like, there's no better way that he can stick it to the Mannings than to raise his son, his eldest, and maybe even the ones with Giselle, which I doubt they might be good at football. I feel like they might be kind of fragile. But point being is, if he can raise one of those kids to be a Super Bowl winning quarterback and somehow out-manning.
All right, so his oldest son is 10. That's the one, or will be 10 this year, 9. That's the one he had with Bridget Moynihan.
Okay, right? And then what's the age gap then? Another
they
five?
They have two children. Then they have two children, a son born in 2000. So he has three kids, two sons, and a daughter. So he's a five-year-old daughter and looks like a nine, turning 10, and so probably like a
look like a 3 or 4 year old kid.
Seven, eight year old.
That kid was 7, 8. Oh yeah, he didn't got a chance. He's yeah. Tiny.
Also, by the way, turning to baseball, because as we end football, Kevin Youkilis is his brother in law, having married Brady's sister Julie in 2012.
Not bad. That's not. I mean, that's.
Well, that's a Boston power couple.
I was going to say, remember, like that's like you know, you can't get more Boston.
Yeah.
Than that.
Oh yeah, there's some rings there.
I mean, what could possibly be a more Boston? Would be like if Carla from Cheers married Bobby Orr's
son. No, I think if Ted Williams and Nomar got gay married, I think like it would have to be Bird and Bobby Orr have a civil ceremony.
And I like how the only person I could draw from that was a female was Carla from Cheers. Yeah, that's the only female.
Well, I guess Mia Hamm is with Nomar, but I don't know what her ties is. She's probably a North Carolina girl. She probably plays in that UNC, you know, or Duke kind of, you know, the soccer girls seem to come out of the soccer
world. Yeah, that's like, yeah.
I feel like she comes out of some sort of UNC type of thing.
Or she's definitely making a lot of money coaching soccer somewhere, I'm sure.
I don't know. I think they might live here in California.
No, that's the, is it Mia Hamm that Nomar's married to?
Yeah.
Okay,
right.
For some reason I thought it was the beach volleyball player.
No, that's Gabrielle Reese or whatever, or the other, but it was also, because the funny thing is, with Nomar being married to Mia Hamm, in some ways, he's the second best athlete in his family. Like, Mia Hamm is like...
Gold medals.
And one of the greatest of her sport, you know what I'm saying? Yeah, like, she is truly a great, and in some ways, she is bigger in her sport than... In some ways, she's the Derek Jeter of soccer.
Whereas Nomar just sold the most Red Sox jerseys from like.
Hey,
from
Nomar is the greatest player with OCD. Like, let's like give him like, God. I mean, you know.
Go watch on YouTube, Google it, whatever. Yeah. Nomar's batting stance with the gloves. It was strap, strap, tug, 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 strap.
All right, so we're in the fourth quarter of the Sportsaholics Super Bowl celebration. Guys, by the way, I did shave my head at the show up, go up as
did anyone get that? I couldn't make it up. I was so exhausted.
No, but it was also, I actually, hosting had to be taken away from me. I wouldn't say I was too drunk. It was literally, just to let you know, like, I talked to my dad several times on Sunday, but then again on Monday, and both of us agree, it's almost like we've blown fuses in our brain. Like, there are certain things that it's just... It's so overwhelming or it's so improbable that you don't really believe it or it really happened. Like it's like I said at the beginning of the show, I really know what it's like to have lost that Super Bowl. I have all the memories. I know what my life was like going down that path. And then somehow in some sort of sci-fi quantum leap, fixing what
it
went,
was the game that was three games. I mean, it really was. I mean, every fan on both sides got to experience defeat and triumph just in different orders. You know, because there was no doubt.
I don't mean this in any disrespect, but the Atlanta Falcons, their motto for the last couple seasons has been rise up. And I honestly, you guys got to get rid of that, because I saw rising up. Like, I got to be honest with you. Rise up.
Rose up.
I'll show you rise up. You might be the Falcons. We were the goddamn Phoenix. Like, we could, like, it is.
They outrose you by thousands of feet.
It is, you know. I'm worried about some of the players. Like, you know, Donnie Moore was the pitcher who gave up I believe the Dave Henderson home run back in 86 of the Angels. In some ways, there's always the story that haunted him sort of for the rest of his life, and he ended up sort of killing himself.
Well, the rest of his life only ended up being another 18 months, right? So 12 months.
I'm not trying to be facetious. I'm not trying to be shitty. It's like, remember, guys, even if the Atlanta Falcons go back next year and win, look, there's four or five guys, 10 guys on that team right now. They're going to get cut. They're going to get traded. They're not going to get re-signed. They're just not going to make the team, or they're going to get injured. They had this. They had this. Like Buckner had it. Like the 72 USA basketball team had it. Like, this was an all-time. They have it. And then it didn't.
And think about that. If you had to walk away from professional sports with that being the last game you played, and then just to have to sit and dwell on that.
I'll put it to you this way, Shazer. I don't need to have an argument with anyone about, was Super Bowl 51 the greatest comeback of all time in Super Bowl history or football or in sports? Because anyone who's having a discussion about comebacks is going to have to talk about this. It's going to get at least honorable mention.
Because it's a super – I mean, because yeah. I bring up the 14 wild card Royals comeback against the A's, which – at one point, the probability of them winning that game, I think, was 3.5%.
Kevin Millar taking a walk. David Roberts steal. But that was game four. You know what I mean? Like, these things.
It wasn't the one game Super Bowl. You know what I mean? With everybody, all eyes fixated, which I think does add to the argument. The value of the stage.
This
where
was
are they playing?
The Cavs 3-1, the Cubs 3-1, but in one game. But in one game, that happened over seven game series. The Red Sox was 11 games in 04, you're talking about. It's like, this was a weird period of time.
And so,
one game, one sound, one band, one sound.
And so I think it just, and it is fresh, and that maybe there's some bias there with
Tom Brady's not talking about retirement. And look, devastating injuries can happen in football. You Cleveland Chiefs fans certainly know the damage you can do to Tom Brady, because you ended my 08 season 15 minutes in. Like, one of the reasons I didn't go chasing after the perfect season is because 15 minutes after I watched astronauts die on the moon that day when the Patriots lost to the Giants. And then 15 minutes into my new season, Bernard Pollard crippled my quarterback. And I lost him for an entire year. Matt Cassel, 11-5. We love all that stuff. But there's a thing where anything bad can happen. But there's a weird point where Tom Brady's talking about, you know, he trains, he eats avocado ice cream. He wants to play at least three more years. It's like, can't he be, like, don't you see him at 43 or 44 being the limping along Peyton Manning, doesn't have the zip on his ball, but could, it's like, it's almost like,
he's still 4 or 5 years away from what we call in.
There's
Peyton
still
Manning.
There's still that. We haven't seen the John Elway with Terrell Davis.
We have seen it. It was the first half of the Super Bowl.
No, I understand, but I see what you're saying.
I'm just saying, like, that's like, that the future. The, like, that's right, what was, like, that the, was bizarro
the
Tom Brady.
The Tom Brady throwing the interception and falling down. Like, some people said, like, when he threw the pick six and fell down trying to
chase. That made me so proud that he really went. He was like, I'm going to try and get that guy. And he didn't. He laid out for him. But I was like, good for you, Tom.
He couldn't get him.
Still got some pride left in you there. But I think Tom Brady playing for 4-5 more years, that is –
And what if I tell you in three or four years, all of a sudden the media is like, well, this is Tom Brady. Like, I mean – Like, look at all, hey, assholes, look at how everyone went for Kobe Bryant. And Kobe Bryant's a fucking dick and an alleged rapist. But, oh, he got 60 in his last game. By the way, he scored 60 points in a meaningless, shitty game where they only got 19 wins. Imagine a world in which, give me Tom Brady's, or Big Poppy, you know, Big Poppy trying to go out on top. It's like, Tom Brady could still have that Big Poppy, Peyton Manning last season farewell tour where all of a sudden there's public sentiment where people are just used to him winning so many times that we just want you to win one more, Tommy. For us, like,
just,
Tommy,
just
not
for
even
us
for
this
you.
Time.
Right,
just
right.
For us.
Yeah,
just,
Tom.
Just a nice
America's
see
gonna
you
be,
later.
Tommy, could you win one for us now? Because just to make us feel better again?
I mean, and think about that. I mean, kudos to you for coming back. I mean, to walk away right now after that game,
hey, by the
it's
way, forget,
would be
I don't know
legendary.
Forget about politics and make America great again. How about we just make America Tom Brady? That's it. Just make America Tom Brady and
everything will be fine. It's coming.
And I don't mean that in a political sense. I
do.
Because no
you know the
off.
Man. The man is running for president.
No days off.
And will win in a landslide.
You
and
can't stop him.
At that point,
you can't stop
you know
him.
What?
Can't stop
I think
him.
Maybe his conservative.
That's my biggest fear is he's a Republican. But
his
I know
conservative
he
politics, I think, will be so towards the middle in 12
right.
years
he'll
from
like
now.
He'll be like Schwarzenegger. He'll
that
be
maybe
that
you'll be like, okay, I can get behind
right,
some
right,
of that
right.
leadership.
He's not going to stop gay marriage. Like he's
no,
not. He wears Ugg boots. He's for gay marriage.
Yeah, I think he might even be in Uggs commercials. I don't know.
Yeah. By the way, Tom Brady does not even. Actor. Tom Brady does not even know that I gay married him 5 years ago. He doesn't even know that.
It's believable in all the commercials. Yeah. I feel like you know he could really go for an action role, just like a funny one.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
You know, just with Robert Downey Jr. again. Sure. Do like one of those. Right. What the hell was that movie called? Know. Anyway, yeah.
All I know is when they do the Tom Brady story, Captain America will be playing Tom Brady. And I don't mean Chris Evans. I mean actual Captain, like, Captain America. Like Superman, Captain America will be auditioning to play Tom Brady. Fictional character. You need fictional characters to play Tom Brady because it isn't real.
And I'm looking forward to the 30 for 30 ESPN in about 20 years. It'll be called 51, Those Forgotten. And it'll be the Falcons players that we just talked about. That ended up having to go
to the UPS. Let me just tell you this. First of all, it's not even going to be a 30 for 30. It's going to be a 40 for 40. It's a 50 for 50. It's a 60 for 60. Because Jesus Christ, what just happened was insane.
It'll be one of those 12-minute Chris Berman 2-minute drills.
Yeah.
That everyone loves so much.
Yeah. But by the way, Chris Berman, if you guys saw that Chris Berman thing, Bill Belichick gives him credit for the Doug Flutie drop kick because they were having an old time football conversation and Boomer was evidently reminiscing and that inspired the Doug Flutie. You remember when they used to have drop kicks and evidently Belichick did remember that. And my dad just told me a funny story about the Flutie drop kick is evidently as the center for the Patriots came up to the line, he looked across at the defense and said, "Wait till you see this." Wait till you see. What do you see what this play is? A drop kick, everybody. By the way, game had 2-point conversions. Back to football 51. Had a direct snap. How about that?
What about that blocked extra point where the guy jumps over the line and it was a perfectly well-timed.
He was over the guard. That's what Belichick. But hey, that's where you say Patriots didn't get every call.
Yeah, yeah.
You know what I mean? Like we weren't getting calls, and
it felt like it was a fairly called game.
That's the thing. This wasn't a blown call, one call. This was, as I was saying earlier, guys. The closest thing to this is literally Titanic, the movie, where the iceberg hits and they're playing in the snow. They're like having icicle fights. You know what I mean? They're throwing snow at each other. They have no idea that they're dying. You know what I'm saying? Like this was a slow moving train that ripped families apart.
Super Bowl 51, the family ripper aparter. It was the greatest Super Bowl played so far after 51.
I really hope everyone out in Atlanta is okay. I mean, I really, because I mean this in the most sincere way. It like, I mean this in Robin Williams from Good Will Hunting. It's not your fault. It's not your fault. And I hope you guys weren't mean to, I really hope you weren't mean to each other or friends or gotten drunk in fights or hit anyone. I mean, I seriously, guys.
Just call, if you have a friend, reach out to him and just say, hey, look,
it's okay,
I didn't mean to call your wife a bitch. It just slipped out of my mouth. You got to admit, she was being a little bit bitchy about the nacho cheese.
It's just one of those things where,
guys,
don't hurt each other. This was a crazy thing that, you know, if you play this game 94 times, it happened. It 93 of them. It doesn't happen this way.
Hey, and look, you were the NFC champions. You know, out of all those teams,
that's
in
not
going to
make
in the
being
NFC.
A champion doesn't make you feel better at all. I got to tell you,
NFC. Because
by the way, like I got to tell you, like that. Like that super, the second giant loss. Let me tell you how that the second loss, it doesn't mean anything. The whole thing, like the fact that we went, it doesn't, the loss doesn't bother me that much, except I really wanted get back. But it's like the loss or the fact that we went to the Super, it doesn't mean anything. That was just the.
Would you say you're like a some sort of weird Patriots fan? Like if you were to have, if you saw Patriots fans wearing the jerseys from the Super Bowl that you didn't win, what would that tell you?
I wish right now, I'll tell you, because also interestingly, the Patriots actually just got the trademark for perfect season and 19-0 perfect season. Like it was just finally the paperwork after 2007.
Well, that's an omen that you definitely want
to
hear.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
You're like, really? Okay, so we can now actually
That. I'll be honest with you. If I could find a 2007 perfect season 19-0 shirt, I would buy a shitload. I would wear them proudly. I would wear the alt. I would love to wear an Al Gore presidential shirt. You know, I would. You know, I believe in alternate histories. I guess if you alternate facts, we're definitely in alternate facts with the new administration. So it's like I would. But the other one, you know, it was like I thought. I'll say let's bring boxing in for a second, because in some ways. I was hoping that the second Giants was going to be like Ali Foreman 2, that was like we would win the second one, and that was going to set up to a natural third deciding game. Like, that's what I thought. I thought we would win the second one, which, by the way, beating the Giants in the second one, like look, if Atlanta comes back and beat us next year, it's not going to make them feel better about this. Like, this is going to hurt them. That will make them, they will celebrate and be excited. Like the Cavaliers are excited that they beat the Warriors, but the Warriors still got them the year before. It doesn't erase it.
No, it doesn't. But it's like
Atlanta will be ecstatic, and all those people are like, hey, it's even sweeter now because we lost last year, but it won't get rid of it. It's like, look, guys, if I could trade if I could trade either the Carolina Panthers or Philadelphia's Eagle Super Bowl for the perfect season, I would do that. I would trade one. I would trade maybe, no, not both. I would trade one. I would trade the Eagles. I would trade the back-to-back one. It's the one I needed the least. It was also the one that... It was the second one. And by the way, remember the Red Sox, it's like the Patriots win, the Red Sox win in the same calendar year, 86-year drought broken, and now the Patriots go back-to-back. I'm sitting at
Andy Reid gets a Super Bowl. McNabb gets a Super Bowl.
But it's also, I'm with one of our best friends, Steve Simone, who worked for the Eagles. He's a and I'm at the game with him, and it's like, and I mean, not at the game. I mean, at our friend's house, Steve Renazzisi from the league, and this is years before any of us do any of this stuff. But it's like... This is one of those things, like, I've won Super... The Red Sox had just won in 04, and I had just had this epiphany, like, I want the Browns fans to feel this. I want Detroit Lions fans to feel this. And in some ways, like, Steve Simone is such a great guy. He's a good friend of mine, and he loves the Eagles. And he loves the Eagles like I love the Red Sox or the Patriots. And I'm sitting right next to him, and he was such a good sport. And, you know, Donovan McNabb throws up on the field. They came so close. They almost got back in it, but they didn't do, like, what we just did.
Just didn't have enough. They didn't have. They had Andy Reid calling plays instead of Bill Belichick.
If I could get the perfect season, like that's what. And but see, that's the thing. As I started the show saying, I'm retiring from everyday sports fandom. The only thing I haven't seen is the perfect season. But that's like, it's like Ahab and Moby Dick. You can't go drive yourself crazy trying to search, hunt down the perfect season. I'm going everything I needed to do. Like, look, the Patriots won. Then they became a dynasty. We had this perfect season, but we lost it. Then we had to go back. We were chasing that fourth ring, and then we finally got that fourth ring. So we finally sort of put us on that Bradshaw Montana level.
You got up to that tier,
and absolutely. And then, by the way, just so you know, guys, I wasn't greedy. I just wanted four. And also because, you know, my girlfriend had broken up with me and I didn't win during, you know, we'd gone to two Super Bowls and I kept losing. I'd shaved my head when we lost the perfect season. Now it's like now when we won the Seahawks, now it became, I turned it to joy. I finally won. I really needed to win the Super Bowl. But then, you know, Roger Goodell and Deflategate, it's like you tried to taint another Super Bowl from me. You're trying to take things from me. And so then I said, now I need another one. Like, now I didn't need...
You caused this. You poked the bear.
I don't want to be a monster. You're making me a monster.
We'll show you. Look, all the balls checked out. Everything's cool. Guess, all right, then we're just going to win another Super Bowl real quick.
Today,
if you don't mind.
While we taped this, the parade happened in Boston this morning, and I got to watch them, and I saw them at City Hall in Boston, and they started a chant to We Want Six. Now they started a six chant, and it's like...
Of course.
Right. But here's the thing. Because, like, look, LeBron, not more, you know, not one, not two, not three. Like, people do that because people are greedy and it's fun to cheer. But, like, look, that's why I'm stepping back from every day. It took a lot. My dad and I are going to step back a little bit. We're going to enjoy it. We're going to spend more time with friends and family because, most importantly, I'm going to become a bigger fan of me and support.
I like that.
Support my team, my
I like
home
that.
Team.
Just in time, you know, pitchers and catchers are reporting this year a little bit early due to the World Baseball Classic.
Right. Well, pitchers, Eric Marino pitchers and catchers report tomorrow, right here on the Sunset Strip.
Camp Marino is open tomorrow.
Yeah, training camp.
Tomorrow.
Eric Marino training camp is now open. Cheezer, what else do we have to talk about?
I was just going to get in to remind the listeners, the World Baseball Classic, they're going to broadcast a lot of the games on MLB TV. And so for myself, I went ahead and scouted out to see what players for the Royals in the Royals organization, which includes your minor league guys that will never make the big leagues, or if they do, it won't be in a Royals uniform. But chances are every game that's going to be on MLB Network has a player that might be from your team. So whether that's, you know, the Red Sox or the Reds, Giants, every team is pretty much represented from
the
each
world.
Country, give
Baseball,
or take.
Classic.
And I'm working right now to try to get an interview with one of the members of the Israeli team in the World Baseball Classic. So just to try to, you know, open up that door, what that's like, because, you know, you meet with the guys, I'm assuming no more than a couple weeks before you're out playing with these, you know, with these.
During Passover, they can't put any yeast on the balls. They hit balls made of matzah.
But they're playing, Israel's pool is in Korea. So that adds a whole different element, you know, in the travel over there. So hopefully that'll be in the next couple episodes. I'll keep you guys posted on that.
Orthodox baseball.
But other than that, just the usual guys, you're going to come every Sunday, show up, go up, open mic.
Sunday night, the next two Sundays, 10:30 to 1 a.m. at the Belly Room of the World Famous Comedy Store.
21 and over. You're going to want to get some drinks. If you want to perform, go ahead and go
down.
Lots
of ways to get on stage, guys, and I'll absolutely host better than I did this week, but you'll have to excuse me because five rings. It was five rings.
Yeah, it's
five
like, rings. You know, that is to be excused. It was like when KU won in 08.
Cheezer, I actually, if I ever get married, guys, if you know I'm single, I've never been married, I realized if I get married, I may, instead of writing my own vows, I may just have this television of Super Bowl 51 come down from the chapel, from the rooftop, and just show the Patriots winning, because nothing says I do. Like, a lot of marriages, they come with one ring or a pair of rings. This marriage, this I do, five rings. That's what I'm saying. Nothing says more commitment. Nothing says more commitment than
five.
Than Super Bowl 51. No days off. There'll be no days off in this marriage.
No days off. No finger uncovered. Now that's all in the left hand too. Thumb ring.
Yeah, yeah.
You're going thumb ring.
Just remember, Tom Brady and Bill Belichick have a AFC Championship hat and t-shirt combo for every day of the week. They now have a Super Bowl ring for Monday through Friday. They do take the weekends off because the Giants stole our weekend rings from us. But
well, hopefully before Eli
and if
retires,
I have to, and by the
you
way,
guys
the one,
can
there's
get in
one
there.
Piece of unfinished business. We're going to keep going back to Super Bowls, people, until we beat the Giants.
Exactly.
By the
and
way, just so you know,
you only got a couple more years of that because Eli's
the
about
biggest
done.
Problem is beating. You realize this: the Patriots, a human mascot, have beaten the Rams, an animal; the Panthers, an animal; the Eagles, an animal; the Seahawks, an animal; and now the Atlanta Falcons. We are 3-0 against birds. We're 3-0 against birds. We have beaten Rams. We have beaten Bears beat us, but we have lost to Packers, who were meat packers, and Giants, who are Giants, And bears, well, bears actually could be gay men, so that's three.
True.
So there's three like human mascots we have the tough thing against, but we do beat animals.
Keep that in mind, listeners, when you're betting in the future. And with that being said,
but that's, by the way, Chiefs, guess what you are?
We're human. We're a human being.
You are the human beings.
I feel like doesn't matter. You could beat a Steeler. You have no problem with a Steeler, which is a human also.
That is true, but a union worker, and so that was like, we're going to get, and we're America, it's a patriot, you know what I'm saying?
That's true. America will crush those dirty, filthy,
always crush the unions.
America,
a patriot's a patriotism. A Revolutionary War will always crush a mill town.
Well, I think that's enough patriots to last for a couple months, right?
Guys, thank you. And by the way, because I won't bore you with anything, because I am stepping back from the dated. I'm still here with Sportsaholics. We'll talk about all your obsessions,
but
because my obsessions, we're going to take a step back. I have healed. I've done it. I've done everything I can do.
In the months to come, baseball coming up, I'm planning on a short trip to spring training.
I may go see my dad and do some Grapefruit League down there in Fort Myers.
That would be nice. But so we will keep you guys posted on that. But guys, stay obsessed. Keep spreading the
word.
Stay
obsessed. Hold on.
Cause my time is timeless. Why you tricking off racks on that bitch? I'm tucking money in the safe for my kid, and I'm good in the hood. Fuck boys need a pass. Never tell that girl the truth. I'ma lie to her ass. Word to my baby mama, see us where I wasn't shit, but I'm the father of the year, and see her tell ya I'm him. Fuck the hoop dream, I am way above the rim. Pool full of weed, and I'ma take a swim. If she ain't texting about no money, I ain't reading it. I'ma get some head, and I'm a big girl, I ain't eating shit. Ooh, I'm ballin' like baby. They wanna have my baby. I'm fresh like mayonnaise. That's why I fuck, nigga, can't stand me. Bitch, I'm big time.
Whoa.
Bitch, I'm big time.
Whoa. Bitch, I'm big time.
Bitch, I'm big time. Whoa. Bitch, I'm big time.
Whoa.
I got everything in my mama name. It's still the same gang, ain't shit changed. Need a project, bitch. When that could roll up and take that dick. I be in her drawers like a pack of the horse, though. Me and my niggas hit the mall and get a ball on. Backwoods, that's a gold zone. You gotta switch your bag, nigga. Hold on. Why? Everybody get your roll on. And you loving that, that's a no-no. Why? Pimps up, hoes down, you know I get around. Big timing on these niggas with that nappy sound. I becoming famous and I love it. I got bitches wanna fuck me out in public. Up and down and up they going. Ooh, I'm ballin' like baby. These bitches, they wanna have my baby. I'm fresh like mayonnaise. That's why I fuck, nigga, can't stand me. Bitch, I'm big time.
Whoa.
Bitch, I'm big time.
Whoa.
Bitch, I'm big time. Bitch, I'm big time. Rock Jordan shoes with a baby that ain't camo suit. I'm not trying to flex, but I'm still fly.
Hey, do your thing.
Baby, like Nephi, what up?
You getting money?
Oh yeah.
You with the shit?
Oh yeah.
You keep it lit?
Oh yeah.
You having fun?
Oh yeah.
You got your gun?
Oh yeah.
You throwing ones?
Oh yeah.
You stacking huns?
Oh yeah. Ooh, I'm ballin' like baby. These bitches, they wanna have my baby. Bitch, I'm big time.
Whoa.
Bitch, I'm big time.
Hey.
Bitch, I'm hey. Bitch, I'm big time.
Bitch, I'm big time.